the Spirit of God's Word, that we would be inspired, that this morning, this moment of this privileged moment of time, that we would be encouraged in this moment to walk, in this moment to be blessed, in this moment to proclaim, in this moment to live, that the gospel, that the kingdom of God may increase in us. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said,
Amen.
All right. I can tell every one of you here that whenever you have different speakers speak, you can get used to one and have a problem with another, and a problem with another, and a problem with another. But there should be only one speaker, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, each person that's speaking is going to bring to you the dimension and the understanding as he knows God. He can't bring you something that he doesn't understand. He cannot preach to you something that he's not experienced. So we should never get involved with saying that this is better than this, or this is produced more than this. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to take each wonderful creation of God, each one that is called to minister and proclaim the good news, each one of us is to be accepted in faith. And that's what I want to teach you. I want to teach faith. I want to bring to you this morning a message that has lived in this ministry for the past 12 years and has let it survive through absolute total chaos. And I'm going to start in the letter of Paul to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 6th verse, if you'd like to follow me along in Scripture. And before I read that to you, I want to read something that'll help you understand what we're fixing to cover. This little book, Reading Scripture, is the Word of God. It's an anointed book. And on page 54, it says this. As we begin our reading of Scripture, we should take the approach that what I'm reading is written to me. What I'm reading was written about me. Listen carefully. What I'm reading is written about me. So when we read the letter of Paul to the Hebrews, we're going to read it as if it's a letter not written to the Hebrews, but it's written to Charlie Osborne. Now, the response that I make to the letter of Paul will depend on my faith in God. It doesn't depend on your faith. It doesn't depend on your commitment. It depends on my commitment. This was written to me. The Word of God was written to Charlie Osborne. Everything from Genesis to Revelations has affected Charlie Osborne's life. Now, my commitment is to understand what has happened to me through my fall of man, through my resurrection of man, and through my glorious ascension of man. I've got to understand where I am, and it says, as I read these Scriptures, I must read them as if they were personally addressed to me. That's very important. That's key. That's absolute. It must be approached like that. And again, let me say that Charlie Osborne is the only one that can approach it in the light of himself. I cannot approach it for you. Now, as I approach it and I experience it, I want to share it. I may not share it like someone else experiences it, but it'll get the same results because there's only one God. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one Lord. There's only one church. There's only one faith. So even though I may present it in a light that's different than the way you would present it, we must produce the same fruit. Must. We must produce people for the kingdom of God. The only way that Catholic evangelists will ever make an impact on this world is if we begin to understand that each one of us is new, unique, you're not going to preach like Charlie Osborne. You're not going to preach like Tony Tolomeo. You're not going to preach like David Stewart. But you'll preach the same thing we preach, but it'll come in a different light. It'll come with greater revelation. It'll come with better understanding. It'll come and build a body. We want millions of preachers. Not all of you are going to be able to say the right thing at the right time. Folks, if I had started and knew that I would never make a mistake, I probably wouldn't have got off the ground. My bishop said, let him make some mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. When you begin to preach, you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to understand clearly. But in those areas that you persist in, that you keep preaching in, that you keep living in, they will become more real and more real. So now there is a key to hold us together while we're developing. We've got something to hold us together. And then you've got to go right back to the beginning of the gospel where Jesus said, love your enemy. Folks, our enemies will always be right here. The biggest rub you're going to get is right here. You commit yourself to this ministry, and folks, your flesh, your attitude sometimes will be disappointed. But Jesus said, rejoice in that. Now listen to this. If we're reading the words of Paul, we should read them as a letter written to me and as if it was delivered by the mailman this morning. Folks, we're going to open up the Word and we're going to approach this thing like it's never been heard before. Federal Express just dropped it off. We're going to open it up for the first time. Now, we may have opened it up hundreds of times, but every time you open it up fresh. Open it up with an open mind. Open it up with a spirit willing to learn. Don't ever set yourself up in a position where you can't learn. I open up the Word every day. I said, Lord, there's something here I've missed. Would you please let me know what it is? And you know, it may come from a rank pagan. He may explain it to me. So that's always I got my ears on. I want to hear what you've got to say. That's the reason I like to listen to what you've got to say. And you know, we're afraid to speak to one another. We're afraid that we'll be rejected, or you won't like what I say, or I didn't say it right, or I didn't come across. Who cares? Say it. We're big enough to handle it, aren't we? Come on, saints. Listen to me this morning. If you are safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, if your mind and your time has been committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know that you live forever and your sins are forgiven, folks, we can go through anything. There's nothing that can destroy this community. There's nothing that can rip it and tear it because we're grounded in our faith. We understand our faith. We're walking in our faith because Jesus Christ is the one that's given us our faith. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Now it is impossible to please God without faith. Who was that written to? Well, you're all excited about it too, aren't you? Let me try it again. Now it is impossible to please God without faith. Who was it written to?
Me.
Well, see now, isn't that personal? Can't you receive that? It's impossible to please God without faith. Charlie Osborne, it's impossible to please God without faith. Yes, Father. Then if I've got to have faith to please God, listen to what I've got to do. I must believe that He exists and He rewards Charlie Osborne. He rewards me as I diligently seek after Him. It's not seeking after you, it's seeking after God. Now you may say something to me that God will use your voice to infire and enkindle in me a new light, a new understanding, a new joy that'll just drive me nuts. And you may not even know what you said. The greatest thrills of my life has been sitting out there listening to a guy that didn't even know what he was talking about. And all of a sudden he said something that just drove me right out of the wall. I mean, woo-hoo-hoo! I mean, yahoo! Glory to God! I'll never forget the morning I was sitting in a liturgy at our Lady of the Pines in Shreveport, Louisiana. And there's a little old priest up there talking about holiness. He said, y'all know, he said, I've worried about that word for a long time. I'm sitting there listening, you know, a Catholic evangelist. Ain't going to get too much out of him because he really doesn't. You know, that's my attitude. I ain't going to get nothing out of him. He don't know. And God showed me. That little old priest said, you know, he said, I looked that word holy up. I'd never looked it up, never took the time. He said, you know that word means to be set apart. Do you know that God's the one that chose me and set me apart? I didn't have nothing to do with it, and I killed right out of my seat. The revelation of faith. The revelation of holiness. The revelation of God to me. I would have never dreamed that morning that God would have been able to speak to me. Now, there's been a whole bunch of times that I've sat and listened, and there's not one thing anybody said ever did anything for me. But that's okay. It's all right. I mean, I've listened. Folks, there's only been four or five times in the last 12 years that God has dropped hunks of wisdom in me that totally shattered my whole being. And I won't have an opportunity to go through all of them this morning, but I'm going to go through a couple of them. But you must know today that it is impossible for you to please God without faith, since you must believe that He exists. That's the key. God is existing, and He is my Lord, and He's my Savior. He is the one that has cleansed me, healed me, delivered me, sanctified me, brought me into the revelation. It is His and His alone, and I must diligently seek after Him. I don't seek after you. My commitment to you is to love you. I'm seeking after God. And it says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from what is preached, and what is preached comes from the Word. It's impossible to please God without faith, since we must believe that He exists, and He rewards those that diligently seek after Him. And faith comes from what is preached, and what is preached comes from the Word of God. Now listen to what it produces. We know now that it's impossible to please God without faith, and we know where it comes from. Listen to the product of faith. Only faith can guarantee me the blessing that I hope for. Faith in whom? Faith in God. Where does it come from? The Word. Only faith can inspire me, motivate me, challenge me, heal me, cleanse me. Because faith cometh by hearing. Hearing comes from the Word. The Word of God is healing. The Word of God is forever. This earth will pass away as you see it. The heavens will pass away as we know it. But the Word of God goes on forever. That Word is in me. And so that Word is forever. Only faith can guarantee me the blessing that I hope for. Now, if you know the creed, it says we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So we're having to believe in something that we can't see. We're having to accept things that we can't see, that are dim to us. So we approach everything in faith, because you can't please God in your natural flesh. Our flesh can't come before God. It's faith that brings us into God. Hallelujah! Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes from the Word. Listen to this again. This is the product of it. Only faith can guarantee me the blessing that I hope for and prove the existence of the reality that at present remains unseen. I've not seen it, but I got it. Now, if I believe that the God of this world and the God of heaven is seen and unseen, then I apply my faith into both areas. I apply my faith into what I can see, and I apply my faith in those things that I can't see. In other words, if I believe faith will produce something that I've not seen yet, then I'll approach you, I'll look at you in faith, putting my trust in God, and looking at you in faith, knowing that there's something going to become of you that I've not seen yet. You're going to be something that I've not seen yet. And God already sees you as being that something And if I look at you in faith, praying, fasting, serving, committed, loving, suffering without retaliation, God is able to bring to pass those things that we have desired in faith. That's the reason we must be patient with one another. Never get upset at what a brother says. I don't care if it's off the wall, black color. I don't care if he's even cursing God. Don't get upset with him. Nothing should offend us. I had a man on the airplane today. Every other word was a GD this and a GD that, and I just sit there and said, praise God. Didn't bother me a bit. And you know, before we got off that plane, I had that old boy listening to me. Never once told him he was going to hell. Never. Let it be a surprise to him. But I gained his confidence because I didn't attack him. I waited till he gave me an opportunity to begin to witness. You know, the first thing I started telling him, I didn't go right into Jesus. I started telling him about the marvelous opportunity that we have today to feed the poor. What a marvelous opportunity today the church has to preach the gospel. And all of a sudden he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a Catholic evangelist. Thought you'd never ask. Well, his language cleaned right up. I didn't have to say anything to him. I wasn't offended by what he was saying, because my Bible says you can curse God, you can curse Jesus, but you better not curse the Holy Ghost. I never did hear him curse the Holy Ghost. That's forgiven. And so if God forgives him, I forgive him while he's doing it. Amen. Listen to what faith is, what it produces. Only faith can guarantee you the blessing that you hope for and prove the existence of the reality that present remains unseen. This whole ministry has developed because I had faith in God and allowed Him to produce this that we're doing. I did not make any great, gigantic effort to do any of it other than to preach Jesus, to proclaim the good news of God, to seek Him with all of my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. I can't seek Him through your strength, so I seek Him through my strength. Amen? Amen. In this, I am committed to you. I bring you the good news that I've experienced. I bring it to you by faith. If I brought it to you with these carnal eyes that I've got, if I weren't able to look at you the way Jesus Christ looks at you, and it says God looks through the crimson, marvelous, healing blood of Jesus Christ at the whole world. He's no longer holding any faults against any man. We've all been justified before God, and our good news message is that we're to go into the world and say, you've been saved by grace. If you have faith in God, turn your life to God, and you've got your salvation. You've been healed by the words of Almighty God. That's the message of an evangelist, a proclaimer. And you'll have to do it by faith. We've not seen this world turn around, but my faith says it's already turned around. Amen. I'm walking. We haven't seen our priests dancing on the altar, but my faith already sees them dancing on the altar. I've not seen our people holding up holy hands and giving praise and worship in the local 11 o'clock liturgy on Sunday morning, but my faith sees it. My faith sees it. I've not seen our clergy and our theologians out preaching this, but I've got faith in it. I believe that it's going to happen. And so therefore, I can be patient in everything I do. Everything. Everything you say, I can be patient in it. I won't be offended by it. I won't be upset by it. I've got peace. And you're going to learn as you begin to be an evangelist. As you begin to preach this word, you will be rejected. You should never take it personally. You know that when you get out there and you begin to preach, you're going to be persecuted because God said you would. That shouldn't bother us at all. People are going to say things that you don't like. It's okay. Only faith can guarantee me the blessing that I hope for and prove the existence of the reality that at present remains unseen. Now, when I started in that 12 years ago, that's all I knew. That's all I heard from all the preachers. There's talking faith, faith, faith. And I just began to cry. I said, God, I want to know more. I want to know faith more than anything else. I want to understand this kind of faith. I heard Cadillac faith preached. I said, I want some Cadillac faith. I heard prosperity faith. I went to hear prosperity. I did not close my ear to nobody. And I'm going to tell you, the day that I would have closed my ear, that's the day the ministry would have stopped. You cannot shut your ears. You've got to be open. You've got to be tuned in. And somebody in a message will just say one little thing. He may preach for hours, but he may say one thing that'll turn your clock on. He may say one little word that'll ignite your heart. My greatest revelations have not come through hours of preaching or hours of listening to tapes or hours of reading Scripture, hours of reading the documents. It's in the meditation and reading all this stuff. Then I would hear a brother get up and say one little word that would just tie it all together and I'd go nuts. Just go crazy. Study, meditate in the Word day and night. Be prepared for the revelation of God to be exposed in your mind. Don't shut nothing out. You be open. And don't think you have to believe everything you hear. Jesus tells us to test the spirits. Now, here is the big revelation that it took me 6 years to learn that's been a source of power and revelation to me that has encouraged me more than anything else I've ever learned. It was the day that I lay on my bed in New Orleans. I just finished speaking about love your enemy, do good to those that hate you, because I knew there was something there that I hadn't experienced. And all of a sudden, the word in Galatians 5:6 said this. Now, folks, this is what we've got to approach. If we have faith in God, if our faith is grounded in God, if faith cometh by hearing and hearing comes from the Word of God, and now it's impossible to please God without faith since we must believe that He exists and He rewards those that diligently seek after Him, and only faith can guarantee me the blessing that I hope for and prove the existence of the reality that at present remains unseen, that faith, according to Galatians 5:6, is faith that manifests its power felt through love. This is the way your community stays together. I did a word study on that love, and the word means agape, A-G-A-P-E. That is to suffer without retaliating. Listen a guy through. Don't retaliate on him. Don't strike out at him. He's doing all he knows to do. And it may be totally wrong, but it's okay. At least he's doing something. Jesus tells us this. The man that waits for the perfect time to do something never does anything. If you're waiting around for it to be just right for you, that day will never come. You will force yourself into this and you'll make more mistakes than Carter's got little liver pills. We hope in this school to eliminate a lot of them. But folks, there's no way we can eliminate mistakes in you because you're walking around in a mistake. A flesh that's corrupt, that's got to leave. You're walking around in it, so you're going to make mistakes. But it's okay. As long as we're looking in faith. To suffer without striking back. That is the only way that a community can ever stay together. It is the only way that a family can stay together. It is the only way the church can ever bond together, because I'll tell all of you this, the church is a sinful church. It's been delivered. It's been sanctified. The sin's been paid for. But you and I walking in this flesh, it won't stop sinning until it drops off and goes back to the dirt. James says us, not many of you should be teachers, because all of us constantly are doing things wrong over and over and over again. We're all doing things wrong. Folks, this walk is a faith walk. And the way we're perfected in this walk is love, to suffer without retaliating. And to be able to do that, you've got to cover one another's sins with love. You've got to be willing to forgive. To therefore be perfect, you must therefore be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. Our perfection comes in forgiveness. I choose to forgive you. That's the way God revealed Himself. Charlie, I forgive you. I said, hallelujah. He said, now I've forgiven you. You forgive Tony. Okay, Lord. You know that's the reason Tony and I can work together? He'll tell you I've never criticized him on anything he's ever taught. Now, I'm not going to tell you I've agreed with everything, but that's okay. He's learning like I am. And he's open to learn. Paul Wilford, him and I don't agree on everything. But we're open and listen, and we don't reject one another, because we have, folks, we'll never get the message just right. Because Jesus is just right. That's the reason we've got to constantly keep looking to Him. We've got to keep looking at Him. We've got to keep our eyes on Him. And we're going to serve one another. You serve one another by forgiving one another. You take this ministry that's been in existence for 12 years and go around and talk to the people that's been in it, they will tell you that there's been times that they feel like choking me. They'll tell you. And I'll tell you, there's been times I felt like choking them. But you know what? We never choked one another. We suffered through it. And I'm going to tell you, I've suffered. Lenny and Irene, get them to tell you about the 8 years that they've been in this ministry. Or 9 years now, ever how long. It's been a long time. Get them to tell you all the pain that we've been through with one another. And folks, everything that we've had to do to stay together is to keep our trust on Jesus and serve one another. Help one another. Be committed to one another. Forgive one another. Amen. Have faith in God. God has done everything necessary for you to get to heaven. For me to get to heaven, it's all done. Everything. Now, for me to get there, I've got to treat you the way God has treated me. He's had mercy on me. I'm going to tell you some things that I'm praying for. I'm praying that in the liturgy, instead of us crying out, God have mercy, that we're going to start thanking Him that we have been given mercy and now we can pass this mercy on to others. Folks, there's got to come a day when we stop calling for it and we start sharing it. But you see, listen, I'm not discouraged. Listen, I'm not discouraged and I'm not disappointed, because it hadn't come yet. By faith, it's already happened. And I'm going to persevere and hang in there till it does. I'm going to have faith that that'll change. And when we say, Lord, I am not worthy. Folks, that He came because He loved us. Only say the words and I'll be healed. He said, I've already said the words and you are healed. I've said it. But now listen. I am not critical. I do not go around saying, well, I ain't going to no more liturgies because I ain't doing it right. I don't do that. And I don't criticize the hierarchy for not changing it. My faith says that if I live in faith toward the community long enough, It'll change. Now, they can change it whenever they want to. It doesn't have any effect on my salvation. Doesn't have any effect on my relationship with God. Doesn't have any effect on my relationship with you. I'll be patient. Hang in there. Endure. And those are just little things. I'm convinced when we really begin to look at our church in faith, the whole dialogue will begin to change. That's going to take some doing because it's been around for a long time. But I believe it's going to change. And it may not change in my lifetime. That's okay. It's not going to stop me from going to heaven. Amen. But it will, listen, if we persist in preaching the truth about God, God said, have faith in Him. And He said, my peace and my mercy I give to you. My grace I give to you. Then He fully extends and expects us to share that mercy, that grace, that peace with others. Now, you may not do it totally correct, but it's okay. It's all right. You repent when you find yourself wrong, and you take on the truth and you run on with it.